Holding on Gimel Amud Aleph, the first six lines from the top, about the two dots. Okay, we're going through the Mishnah. Had mentioned the various ways in which a person might take on Nazirus. We have the Tinuyim, we have the Yodos. So, continuing with another one of the Mishnah's examples was if he said Hareni Kazeh, if he said I'm like this. So the question is, similar to the questions we had yesterday about a hey Noah, Nehi Nami Tophus Besairoi. Fine. Even if you're going to argue, as we said yesterday with Hareni Noah, that we're talking about where he's actually holding on to his hair when he says Hareni Kazeh, so what? Hareni Kazeh, Loy Omar. He didn't say anything that amounts to saying, I will be a Nazir. It's not Hareni Kazeh, Loy Omar. He didn't say Hareni Kazeh, because he did say Hareni Kazeh, but it means Loy Omar. He didn't say anything that actually accomplishes anything. There's a different girsa over here. The Rav Ranchburg brings over here a different girsa, which also some of the Rishonim have, that rather the word is Hareni Bazeh, Loy Omar. Mele, if he was holding on to his hair and he said Hareni Bazeh, behold, I will be in this or with this, then fine. We can understand it means I will be in this hair for a minimum period of time, 30 days or whatever. But kazeh, what does it mean? I'm going to be like this hair? That doesn't mean anything. The answer is, Shmuel says, like we said yesterday, he's going to show you a nazir over the funnel. We're talking about that a nazir is passing by in front of him, and when he says, hareni kazeh, so it's not, he's saying, not kazeh as in like my hair. Kazeh, like this person. Rishonim discussed the issue. Does that mean in the end you'd have to have that he's both holding on to his hair and a nazir is passing by in order for it to work, or is just the nazir passing by enough when he says Hareni Kazeh?
Well,
that would be one possible case. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could argue maybe it's also if the guy's looking at a picture of a nazir. I don't know. The Rosh points out then, so what's the chiddush of it in that case? Wouldn't you think it seems obvious then if a nazir is passing by and he says, Hareni Kazeh, then he means I want to be like this guy? Not necessarily, though. You could have argued, after all, it means I want to be rich like him, I want to be good-looking like him or whatever. But nevertheless, the fact that he's saying it as a lashon of a neder, Hareni Kazeh, means that he actually means to take on Nazirus, like this guy.
By the way, how do you know the guy's walking by is a Nazir, just by looking at the hair?
By looking at the hair, Mustama, you could tell, yeah. Because people usually kept, men in those days usually kept their hair short. So if you see a person who's walking by, or it could just be somebody you know this person, and you know that he's a Nazir, yeah. Next, the Mishnah had said, Hareni Misalsil, that if the person says Hareni Misalsil, then that's also an expression of Nazirus, because we said Misalsil means like he says, I'll curl my hair, or like run my hands through it, like what you do when your hair is long, and when you do that Misalsil, like to style it, or to wash it, or whatever. So, Mimai Dehadein Silsil Saira, how do we know that the word Silsil has to do with hair? It's Kedamr Lehahi Amsa Debe Rebbe Lahu Gavra. Like we find that the maidservant of Rebbe said to a certain man, which the Gemara in other places where it mentions this, says that this man was sitting over there and playing around with his hair. So she says to him, Ad Mosse Ata Misalsa Besarecha. How long are you going to be Misalsa your hair? Actually, the Gemara mentions in the reason the Gemara mentions it in these various places is it mentions there's a few words in Hebrew that the Chachamim didn't know the meaning of. In the times of Rebbe, most Jews spoke Aramaic. In Rebbe's family, in Rebbe's household, they spoke Lashon Kodesh. That's what Rambam says. That's one reason why the Mishnah is written in pure Lashon HaKodesh, because they spoke, the Rebbe was very conversant in it. Many of the other Chachamim were not. So they didn't know what the word silsil means in our Mishnah and various other places. Then when they heard this Amsa Debe Rebbe saying to this person, why are you being the salsa with your hair, then they understood now what the word silsil means.
Silsil is
Lashon HaKodesh. It's Lashon HaKodesh. The question is, though, Ema Torah, still, though, who says this person is trying to make a neder of Nazirus? Maybe it's that he's actually making a neder that he's going to learn Torah. And we find the word silsil in connection with Torah, just if salsaleha or sudaim mecca. The pasuk says, turn over the Torah, like a person turns over his hair with his hand, or sudaim mecca, and the Torah will lift you up. So maybe hareni misalsil, maybe the person doesn't mean anything about growing his hair as a nazir. Maybe he means, I'm going to be delving into and turning over the Torah. have a mitzvah, learning Torah, fine. But so what? You can make a neder to keep a mitzvah. Nimunayim shenishborim l'kayim is a mitzvah. We learned in Nedarim. Especially with Talmud Torah, actually, because Talmud Torah, when you get down to it, you know, there's the bare minimum. You know, it says in Menachos, Rav Shimon Yochai says over there, a person can be yotze, you know, Talmud Torah with the bare minimum by saying Kriyat Shema in the morning and Kriyat Shema in the evening. So yes, a person can well make a neder to self aleha to actually turn over and delve into the Torah in depth, and that would be a valid neder. Well, yeah. So again, Shmuel says, yeah, you have to be talking about the case where he's holding on to his hair. When he holds on to his hair, when he's saying, Hareini v'salso, then of necessity it means that I'm going to be doing a mitzvah involving my hair, not learning Torah.
Now, Hareini v'salso means you're playing with your own hair, isn't that a negative thing? That's supposed to be a holy person. That's the Sari who's playing with his hair.
Okay. He's not necessarily going to be sitting the whole, first of all, I mean, a nazir, yes, a person is supposed to take on nazirus for holy reasons, but after all, I mean, a person can take on nazirus for frivolous reasons also, and it is a valid nazirus. So yeah, he might not be the best thing if he's going to be sitting there as a nazir and playing around with his hair, but a nazir is still nazirus. We're going to talk about tomorrow, we're going to talk about the nazirus of Avshalom. Avshalom is no paragon in Jewish history, but he was still a nazir, and we learn certain halachas of nazirus from him.
Can you pull your hair when you're a nazir?
We'll learn that later on in the Masechta. It's basically an issue of psikre, not really psikre, it's an issue of whether it's something that you're not allowed to do things that are likely to make the hair fall out. Nazir choyfer from a spas with avaloi tzorek. We'll get to it in a few weeks' time, Ezra Shem. Okay. Next, Hareini Mechalkel. Next, the Mishnah had given another example. If the person says Hareini Mechalkel, then also it's another. And again, the question is, Mimai Dahadain Kilkul Sairaidu. How do we know that the word Kilkul means growing hair? Because it's not. It's like we learn in the Mishnah and Shabbos, Sid, this is part of the Perakim and Shabbos where it discusses the minimum amounts for different things that person would be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. The basic idea is it has to be, we learned back in Shabbos, it's the minimum amount that would be useful under normal circumstance, that would be useful to the average person. So one thing it mentions over there is sid, if you carry out plaster on Shabbos. Besides that you can use plaster for building, they also used to use plaster for beauty treatments. They used to use it to as a depilatory, yeah, to get hair, or sort of like nowadays with waxing or whatever. So the amount for sid, Rabbi Yehuda, so there's a couple of different opinions in the Mishnah. One of them is Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kedid lasud kilkul, if it's enough plaster to be able to spread over a kilkul. And what is kilkul? Amarav basida is the hair on the temples. A man can't take off the hair on his temples. He has to grow payas. A woman doesn't have that mitzvah. So therefore, you would have, if there's an unsightly amount of hair there, she would want to remove it. She'd put on some plaster. Actually, the Gemara mentions over there that poor women would use plaster, richer women would use various other kinds of depilatories, but whatever it is, the point is that you'd smear some plaster on the area over there, wait till it hardens and pull it off. That's the minimum amount of plaster, Rabbi Yehuda says, that's considered useful, and therefore that he'd be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. So you see, the word kilkul means a growth of hair. Same thing over here in our Mishnah. If he says, Hareini Mechalkel, means I'm going to grow my hair. Okay. Again, the question is, Eim Mezen Ani. Why? The word kilkul has another meaning as well. It means to support people. Parnasa v'chalkala. Yosef supported his father and his brother. So maybe Hareini Mechalkel means I'm making a neder that I'll support poor people. And again, the answer is, I'm a Shmuel Achanami Shetofus Besairei. Again, he's holding on to his hair when he says
it. Shmuel is very formal.
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing. We talked about yesterday, the Gemara talked about the question whether Shmuel holds that you need your Dayev Mechichas or not. If you're going to say, Tosfos Bechlal discusses the question, these expressions that we're mentioning now, Hareini Mesalsel, Hareini Mechalkel, are they a yad or are they something more than a yad? Because after all, given that the word silsel, when you're holding on to your hair, has only one possible meaning, and the same thing with kilkul, then it may be something more strong, it may be even something stronger than a yad, stronger than just saying a hey when another walks by, for example.
Well, that would be points to his hair.
He points to his hair? Could be the same thing, I don't know, I mean, you're right, Shmuel is saying Chetopus Besairei, but I don't know, you could argue that if he's just pointing to his hair, I mean, he's pointing to his hair, but he's also pointing to his head. So maybe not necessarily. I'll learn Torah with my head, you know. I'll use my brains to you know, lots of that script. But if he's holding onto his hair, that's it. Okay. Next one in the Mishnah is but another example is if he says, I'm obligating myself to be Mishaleach Pera, then he's a Nazir. Now, Pera, granted, Pera, we know what it means pretty clearly. It means long hair. What we're going to focus on is what does Mishaleach mean? Mimaidah, habin shiluach, shiluach ribuyahu. How do we know that the word shiluach means to grow long? That would be dichtiv, because they have a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Shlochayich paris remonim. Your growth, your garden is like a garden, like an orchard of pomegranates. So we see that shlochayich means things that grow. So then shiluach pera, would mean that I'm obligating myself to grow long hair. Okay. The question is though, emamidi davuri, maybe. Maybe the other way around. Maybe the shaleach actually means to remove. And then if the person is saying, so even if you're going to say he's holding on to his hair, how do you know it means he's going to grow this hair? Maybe on the contrary, it means I'm making a promise that I'm going to take a haircut. As the pasuk says, that the Eibishter is shaleach water on the outskirts. Which the Gemara at this point is assuming that the word shiluach means that the shaleach mayim over there means that Hashem removes the water from one place to another. The beginning of the pasuk is on noit and motor apnei oret, that the Eibishter provides rain on the surface of the ground. So then the second half of the pasuk would be that sometimes the Eibishter makes it rain, and sometimes the Eibishter withholds the rain or makes it flow to other places or whatever. So shiluach can very well mean to remove also. The answer is tana pera pera yalif. Actually, what the Tana is doing is he's using the Gzeira Shava based on the word Pera, which actually Tosfos says the Tana that we're talking about over here is not really the Tana of our Mishnah, but rather the Tana in a different place in connection with the dinim of a Kohen Hediot, that a Kohen Hediot is not allowed to let his hair grow for more than 30 days and then go into the Beis Hamikdash and do the Avodah. He learns the fact that there's, the Gemara is going to bring in a second, that there's a pasuk telling us that a kohen is not allowed to grow pera. We learn that from a nazir, and then in turn, given that we have the word pera in connection with a nazir, then when the person is saying harei lo shaleach pera, then that's already strong enough reason. Given that, together with that you have the word pera meaning a growth of hair, plus the fact that you do have a pasuk where the word shaleach means to grow, the one in Shir Hashirim. So taken together, that's enough for us to say that Harei Elai L'Shaleach Pera means that he's accepting on himself to be a Nazir rather than the other way around to cut his hair. How is that? Ksiv Hocha Kodesh Yigadol Pera. By a Nazir, it says he should be holy. He grows his hair long. Ochtiv Asim, Gavit Kohen Hedyot, Pera Lo Yishaleichu. By a Kohen Hedyot, you have the same expression, Pera, in Yechezkel. It says that they're not allowed to grow Pera. So we learn by Gzeira Shava that means the same kind of thing. Just as a minimum nazirus is 30 days, which we'll talk about in a couple of days, where we learn that from exactly. So also, any kohen is not allowed to grow his hair more than 30 days and then come into the Beis Hamikdash. The reason I mention the kohen hediot, and the same thing applies to a kohen gadol, but a kohen gadol actually would take a haircut every Friday. Vibaisema, or another possibility, how do we know that? They had
long pears.
Whether they had long pears, I don't know. I mean, they had to grow their pears, obviously, because the Torah says, but did they grow their pears the way we do, or did they grow their pears the way that Polish Chassidim do? I have no idea.
We have to leave them, what, below the...
Below the bone over here. Yeah. when we get to Makos, when we get to Masechta Makos, a couple of years from now, that'll be the main place where the Gemara discusses this whole concept. Okay. The Ibrei Sema, or another possibility, you argue before that the word Sheleach has a double meaning. It can mean to grow, but it can also mean to remove. And you're trying to prove from that pasuk in Iyo, Sheleach Mayim Al Pnei Chutzit. No. Or another possibility, you can say, Hay Sheleach Mayim Nami Yudibuihu. No, you can say that the Sheleach Mayim is also an expression of increasing, of growing the amount of water. Kilimitagram of Yosef, to Kad Mashkin Le Maya Lepera V'Rabi. When you water fruit, it's like when you water fruit and it grows. So then the whole pasuk is talking about that the Eibishter sends rain, and I know it's in Matar Apnei Arad, V'Sheleach Mayim Apnei Chutzit, and the Eibishter causes, through the rain, causes that there grow things in the outside world. So therefore, yes, shaleach over there can mean growing as well. So it's true, nevertheless, it is true that you have other psukim. There's no question you do have other psukim where the word shaleach means to remove. By shalach ha'yaleichu, for example, where you sent them away. Nevertheless, since we have at least one and maybe two psukim where we see that the shodesh shalach means to grow, then we can associate that together with pera. Then we can say that it means that the person took on himself that he's going to grow his hair, therefore to be a nazir.
How do you choose?
Once you have one or two psukim that show. That this is what Tosafot says, that the word shalach means to grow, and when he said it together with the word pera, which we just established before, that the word pera itself means the growth of long hair, then that together is enough for us to say that it means that's what he meant.
But in other cases,
what?
It's not associated with pera. How do you know if it doesn't mean growing?
No, I mean, how do you know it in the context of the individual pasuk? You have to look at what the pasuk says. I mean, yeah. Next, the Mishnah had said, "Harei alayt siporim," that if the person says, "I'm taking on myself birds," Rameyah omer nazir, then we had a machlokus. Rameyah says he's a nazir, the Chum says no. Okay. My time is Rameyah, so what's Rameyah's logic? How do you get from birds to nazirus? Amar Reish Lakish, siporim smuchim l'seir, kibul olav. Because what we're talking about actually is that he's using this mention of birds in the pasuk that are adjacent to a mention of hair. In other words, when he says tziparim, he's thinking of the association between birds and hair. Now, what association is there in a pasuk? Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, the pasuk describes in Sefer Daniel how Nebuchadnezzar had this weird dream where he sees a tree that he sees a big beautiful tree that gets chopped down and then tied up with chains for 7 years, and Daniel explains to him that this is a message from Hashemayim. You become too much of a Baal Gaiva. You think you're the boss of everything. You're gonna go crazy. You're gonna go live with the animals for seven years. And eventually, at the end of that period, you'll finally realize that the Eivishter runs the world. So what happened? The pasuk says, sure enough, he ended up going crazy and getting driven out of human society and living with the animals. Ad bisare kinishrin rava, until his hair grew as long as the feathers of eagles. For tefroik tziporin, and his nails grew as long as the nails of birds. So therefore, there you have a pasuk that associates hair with birds. So if the person saying Harei Alei Tziporim, what he really means is Rav Meir's Reish Lakish is saying he really means that I'm taking on myself to grow my hair long, like the way Nebuchadnezzar's hair grew long. What?
If I remember correctly, enough can only be birds and become stomach.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, Tosfos points out. It's not only the fact of the smichos. It's not only the fact that the word birds and the word hair appear in the same pasuk. Because otherwise, by the same logic, what if the person were to say, "I'm taking on myself the shardim. I'm taking on myself eagles," or whatever the shardim are you going to say that would make him another? No, it has to be at least as the Gemara is going to point out. As you just said, the fact is there is an association in halacha between birds and a nazir because the nazir becomes tamei. He has to bring two birds as a korban. So that association itself. So Reish Lakish is focusing mainly on the association in the pasuk. But yes, you do also need, in addition, you also need the detail that birds are more closely associated, the tziporim are more closely associated with a nazir than eagles. So therefore, if you were to mention eagles or nails or whatever, that are the other things that I mentioned in the pasuk, nothing would happen.
My question would be, though, that it's an unusual, I think it's a strange way of taking a nether to become a nazir. Because you're related to when you failed. You failed in the goal because you became tummy. And nobody takes on nazirus, so it's kind of an odd way to become a nazir.
Okay. He's saying it's an odd way to become a nazir considering that you only bring the birds if you become tummy. Granted, but we're not saying Rav Meir is not saying he's definitively taking on himself to bring birth. I'm putting myself in a situation. I am another now, and potentially that could lead me to me bringing birth. Yeah. And Reish Lakish is focusing also. In addition, you have this association in the pasuk between birds and hair. That therefore, yeah.
Okay.
Only when he becomes tummy, yeah. Or at the end of his...
At the end of his nazir, he brings three animals, no birds. So Rav Meir Sava Makbis Indin Shbemidi to some place. So Rav Meir, therefore, is holding that a person can be Makbis, a person, we learned about Hatasa a lot in the Jardim, when a person, for example, declares this object is like a carbon, and then it becomes also to him, because he's taking the concept of a carbon and applying it to the object. Same thing over here. So Rav Meir holds that a person can be Makbis in something that's adjacent in the Pasuk. So therefore, again, when he mentions Sipparim, he's really focusing on the Seir that's mentioned in at the beginning of the Pasuk. But Abraham Sabri loy Makbis in Ishbibidi Samachlay, whereas the Chachamim hold that a person doesn't do that. We don't say he had in mind anything having to do with hair. That's Rosh Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan Amar. The Kula Amar Loi Matis, no. Everybody might agree that it's not a matter of a pasuk. We're not going to say that the person, when he says Tziporim, is thinking of that pasuk in Daniel that associates birds together with hair. Ella, Hainu, time is it a mayor? No, rather, a mayor's reason why he says the person is going to be a Nazir, the Chashin and Shemet Tziporim Nazir Tomei Kibul Olav, because we have to be concerned that when he said Tziporim, maybe what he meant is to take on himself the birds, again, that another Tomei has to bring. Which actually, when we say Chashinin over here, doesn't mean that usually Chashinin would mean we have to be concerned about it. In other words, there's a Sophic. Now, it can't be over here there's a Sophic. As a matter of fact, I mean, we're going to have, as we go throughout the Masechta, you can't really have a person can't be a Nazir Misophic, because what's he going to do as far as his Karbonis? You can't bring Karbonis based on Sophic.
I think these could be coming from
No. But even forget about that. If it's a suffix, here we're talking about a suffix. If the word chayshin here meant what it usually does, then it would mean to suffix whether he's a nazir or not. But you can't have a suffix nazir because you can't bring carbonus. You can bring brute carbonus based on a suffix, but you can't bring animal carbonus based on a suffix, because it turns out that the suffix is wrong and you're not in fact a nazir. Then you bring a chulin into the azara. So you can't do that. So therefore, the Rosh says over here, when we say Chayshinan over here, it doesn't mean we're concerned, as in it's a Sophic, whether he might have meant Nazirus or whether not. No, Chayshinan over here means, and there's a few places where the Gemara uses the expression in this way, that Chayshinan means more like a certainty. We can assume, we can expect that he means to take on himself the obligation of Nazirus, which includes the detail that if he becomes Tomei, he'll bring birds. Okay. The question is why the Gemara asks, Mechti Chashin Kamar, after all, if all we're doing is assuming that because he says Tziporim, that he's referring to the birds that another Tomei brings, why? Dilma Tziporim and Java Kibul Olav. By the same logic, you could say that he accepted on himself to bring a voluntary carbon of birds. A person can bring a voluntary ola of a bird, not a chatas, but an ola.
That's the point, right?
In other words, if another, if there's a suffix whether a nazir became tamei, that's different. Yes, he can bring at least his bird carbonus, because you can bring bird carbonus on a suffix. But here we're talking about the suffix. Here we're talking about it. What we were talking about a minute ago is the question of a suffix whether he's a nazir in the first place. That you can't have. There's no such thing. Either he's going to be a nazir or he's not. There's no room for sphagus. So back to over here then. Maybe when he says Harei Tziporim, if you're saying again, Rish Lakish is saying that fine, we look at the association of Tziporim with hair. Rabbi Yechanan is saying, forget about that. You're associating it because Tziporim themselves are brought by another. Fine, Tziporim can also be brought by the average person as an adava. So maybe that's all he meant. The answer is Imkain Harayala Kain mi Barilei, because then he wouldn't use the expression Harayala Tziporim. Then he would actually use the expression Harayala Kain. I promise to bring a nest. A nest meaning a pair of birds. Now, technically a person can bring only one bird as a carbon, but if he did, he wouldn't have said Tziporim in the plural. Tziporim in the plural implies that he's saying I'm going to bring two. Well, when you bring two birds as a carbon, the term for it usually throughout Shas is a cane, is a nest. I guess because like a nesting pair or something.
Is that male and female?
It's not necessarily male and female, but that's the usual term for it. That's why you have Masechta Kinim is all about the various cases where one bird from one nest gets mixed up with one from another nest or whatever, all the different permutations over there. So if he if he'd meant I'm going to bring voluntary korbanos, he would have said harayel kein. By saying harayel tzipporim, it gives us a stronger reason to think that he's talking about the tzipporim of a nazir. Okay. Next, let's consider though. Beduma harayel tzipporim mitzora kamar. Fine. Maybe it means though there's another kind of case where birds are brought as a korban, a mitzora. When a mitzvah, there's actually two places, there's actually two stages in which a mitzvah uses birds. One is at the beginning over there, it describes the beginning of Parshat Mitzvah, where the first stage of his tara is you take two birds, the Kohen shechts one and dips the other one together with Eis Erez, the Ezev, Shnitelas, into a mixture of the blood and water and sends the other bird away free. That's one. And then the other one is when the mitzvah is after he goes through his whole 7 days of tara after that, then afterwards he brings his korbanos, where if he's rich, then his korban consists of animals, and if he's poor, then his korban consists of birds. Same way as we mentioned yesterday that you can volunteer to donate a nazir's korbanos on his behalf. Same thing with a mitzvah. You can volunteer to donate a mitzvah's korbanos on his behalf. So maybe when he says tziporim, then maybe it means that I'm obligating myself to find a mitzvah and bring his birds. And there, Tosfos points out, actually, that shouldn't you argue then maybe there needs to be a mitzvah passing by in order for that? No, because the fact is, there are always going to be mitzvahim in the world.
Aren't they removed from the place where
they live? Yeah, but they still exist. That's the point. In other words, a mitzvah doesn't need to be passing by. And no, a mitzvah has to be kept out of the walled cities of Eretz Yisrael. A mitzvah is allowed to be in the unwalled cities.
Right.
Yeah. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Negoyim, for example, that talks about if the Mitzvah wants to go to Shul, how they arrange things so he's not Matameh everybody there. Yeah. Anyway, the point is you don't need a Mitzvah passing by because the fact is there are Mitzvahim in the world. The fact is there are also Nazirim in the world. So once he says, Harei Elek Tiporim, given that we've excluded the possibility that he means voluntary Karbonis, because then he would have said Cain, then we're left with either nazir or mitzvah, and in a way, tziporim are more associated with mitzvah. Why? Because actually, the lashon haposik in connection with mitzvah, the first stage, is it actually mentions shtei tziporim chayas taharas. It mentions the word tziporim
in
parashas mitzvah in the first stage over there. Okay, here we're talking about the second stage where the mitzvah is bringing his korbanos, but still, you have the actual word tziporim in a posik that talks about mitzvah. Later on, when it describes the korbanos of the Torah, it doesn't mention the word tziporim, it says torim of bnei yonah. Same thing by the nazir also, it says torim of bnei yonah. It doesn't mention the word tziporim. So if you're going to argue that he means harei lo tziporim, there's more logic to think maybe that he's thinking more of a nazir, of a mitzvah than a nazir. Okay, and the answer is, you're going to show your nazir over the phone. You're right. You would have to say that you're talking about that a nazir is passing by in front of him. You're right. If nobody was passing by in front of him, then maybe there's more logical reason to think that he's talking about a mitzvah because of that word association. But once the nazir is actually passing by, then that makes a stronger association. Okay, the question is, Vaduma Nazir Tome or Lapertram in Kobanais of Kamar. Fine, how does that help us? Still, if this person who's passing by is another Tome, then maybe it means I'm volunteering to pastor him from his Kobanais, to bring his birds on his behalf. Yeah, but precisely because of the Suffolk, how can we make this person another based on a Suffolk? And again, and the answer is going to show another Tahir over the front of him. You're right, you have to be talking about that another who's Tahir is passing by in front of him. Now, it's true that it still could theoretically mean that if he becomes Tomei, then I'm going to bring his birds on his behalf. It could mean that, but that's already a little more far-fetched. And given that he has Belibri, he has to have Belibri that he means to be a Nazir, because otherwise not P. Belibri Shavin, and he's not going to be a Nazir anyhow. So that, plus the fact that there's another who right now is Tahir and is not shy after bringing birds passing by, then that's already reason enough to say that Harayel Tziporim means that I myself am going to be a Nazir and potentially be in that situation of having to bring Tziporim. That's how Tosfos explains it, basically. Tosfos adds the detail, actually, that's the thing, that the Nazir who's passing by right now, he's Tahir. The idea that he might become Tomei, that doesn't even exist in the world yet, because right now he's still Tar. Therefore, it's a very far-fetched thing. We're more likely to assume, especially based on the Machshava in his heart, that he means that I myself am going to be a Nazir. Okay, so bottom line is we have two different explanations. We have Rish Lakish's explanation that's based on the association in the Pasuk. We have Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that's based on the association between the fact that a Nazir has a certain situation where he has to bring birds. So my benayir, the Gemara asks, what's the difference between them, Tosfos says, in how we understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Harei Alei Tziporim, Reb Meir says Nazir, and the Chachamim say, not a Nazir, either way, the bottom line is, Reb Meir is saying that if you say Tziporim, then you're Nazir, the Chachamim are saying, you're not. What's the actual difference in what Reb Meir would hold? The answer is, the difference would be what if in Rish Lakish's example he only mentioned Tziporim and we are the ones who supply the detail that he meant Tziporim that are adjacent to the word Seir in the puzzle. What if he explicitly made that association? What if he explicitly said, I am taking on myself the kind of tziporim that are in association with Seir? So, Rabbi Yochanan afagab d'amahachi. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't hold of the association of the pasuk, so therefore that even if he says that, in nazir over the front of Ein, if a nazir is passing by at that time, then it works, eloi loy, and if not, then not. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, that has nothing to do with it. The only thing that makes it, the only thing that turns Tziporim into a declaration of Nazirus is the Nazir passing by. No Nazir passing by, doesn't matter even.
But if he says so, why should it turn?
Because even if he said Tziporim Asmuchim L'Seir, Rabbi Yochanan would say that even though, yes, you intended in your heart to become a Nazir, but it still has to be Piv V'Libe Shavin. It still has to be that you're saying something that amounts to a declaration of Nazirus. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Tziporim Asmuchim L'Seir is nothing. The only thing that can turn that into a valid declaration of Nazirus, which then can go with what you have in your mind, is if a Nazir is passing by. Little Pshim Ben Lakish, where the coin to Rish Lakish, Afagab De'in Nazir over the fun of. Even if a Nazir is not passing by, the fact that he himself made that association between birds and Seir is enough to make it a valid declaration of Nazir. Okay. So now, going back to the beginning, at the beginning of this discussion, we said that Rish Lakish had said that the underlying machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim then is, would a person use something that's nearby something else in a pasuk, or nearby something else in association in order to make a neder like that? So when a person says Tziporim without mentioning Smuchim L'Seir, can we supply the idea that he meant the Tziporim that are adjacent to Seir? And Reb Yechanan is arguing with that. So the question, and according to Rish Lakish, the Chachamim are arguing with that also. The question is, Mi ikum lamando amale matpis inish memilta de samachle? Why? Is there really such an opinion that a person would not use for hatpasa something that's adjacent in the pasuk? V'altanya, we learn in a braisa, ha'oimu yamin harei du shvur. If somebody says the word yamin, then that's a shvur. So he says, for example, yamin that I won't eat, that's considered a shvur that I won't eat.
Yamin meaning what?
Yamin meaning the right. That's a lashon of shvur. Now, why is that? My time, a lav mishum dechdiv, isn't it because we find a pasuk also in Sefer Daniel that says, "Vayorim yimino esmoile al shemayim vayishava b'chayor olam." He lifted up his right hand and his left hand to the heavens and swore by the light of the world. By the Ebershter, this is Daniel. Daniel is asking the Malach, who's been telling him about the four kingdoms, the Arab Malchus, or the goddess of the Jewish people over thousands of years. Ad mosek ketaplois, how long is all this going to have to be before Mashiach finally comes? And the Malach lifts up his right hand and his left hand and swears by the Eidishter that there'll come an end to it, that the Mashiach will come at a certain time. So we see that.
That doesn't answer the question.
Okay, but the point is that there is going to be an end to it.
But that wasn't okay,
question. Yeah, but okay. Now, I know the Pasuk mentions it in a coded way, Moyed, Moyed, and Machesi, you know, whatever that means exactly. Anyway. The point is, there you have an example of such an association. The word yamin itself, we're assuming, is not in and of itself a shvura, but since it mentions that Malach lifted up his right hand and swore, then that's the association.
But you also observe his left hand.
Well, that's we're going to quote in a second. We're going to say in a second. That's more of the law. Wait. But right now we're just focusing on the first one, right? But so
first he did his right one.
Yeah, whatever. No, that's not the point. The point is we haven't gotten to the smell yet. That's not the relevant thing. It's for the moment over here. The point is that if a person says yamin, we're saying it's a shvur, and now if he's over on that shvur, he'll be chayav malchus. On the face of it, why? Even though the word yamin itself is not a shvur, but because it's associated in the passing with shvur, therefore you see that there is such a thing as an association like that. The answer is Amri. They say Loi. No, that's not it. The reason is Mishum Diyamin Gufei Yikri Shvur. No, the reason is actually because not because Yamin is associated with Shvur, like you use your right hand in connection with making a Shvur, but because the Yamin itself, the right hand itself, is a Shvur. D'tanya, the learner Bryce. I mean, Nain La'Omi Yamin Shei Shvur. How do we know that if a person says Yamin, that's considered a Shvur? Shenem Nishva Hashem B'Yamina. It says Hashem swore it on his right hand. So therefore, when the person says yamin, then he can be referring to the yamin, the right hand, kavyachol of the Eibishter. And we're saying the Eibishter swore by that. So the same way as if a person swears by the Eibishter's name, then it's a valid shvur. A person swears by one of the kinuyim of Hashem, Chanun, Rachum, etc., then it's a valid shvur. Same way when a person says yamin, then it's the equivalent of swearing by Hashem's right hand. And we nine law smell she shvur. And how do we know also if you mention the left hand, it's a shvur shenemar over zroya urze, because the pasuk continues that Hashem swore with the arm of his power. So if yamina means the right arm, then zroya has to mean the left arm. In particular,
why does zroya mean the left?
Well, first of all, because if yamin is the right, then zroya of necessity has to be the left. But also Rashi explains over here that based on the famous Gemara in Brachas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maniach Tefillin, that the Gemara learns it from this very pasuk, or zroya uzay, that the Eibishter put Tefillin kaviyachol on his on. Oiz means Tefillin, or zroya uzay therefore means the arm on which he places the oiz, the Tefillin. Tefillin are always because we yoru v'yoru kolamet k'shem Hashem nikra alach v'yoru m'meka. So therefore, v'zroya uza is the arm on which the Eibishter kaviyachol puts tefillin. That's the left arm.
Isn't the word oiz be strong?
Yes.
What we say, the left is the strong.
No, the left arm is weaker than the right. But that's the point.
That means the right.
But that's the thing. That's why we're saying v'zroya uza means the arm on which he places the oiz of tefillin. The oiz of tefillin.
Yes,
I mean there is also the fact. I mean yamin is associated with chesed and smol is associated, and that's the Torah. Hashem oiz lama yitin is the Torah.
Yes,
but I mean there's also the association between yamin is chesed, smol is gvura, and oiz and gvura are very closely associated. Yeah.
It also means strength.
But it also includes the strength of Gvura, the strength to withhold. That's the famous Gemara about how Moshe Rabbeinu originally said a Pela Gadol Agibur Vanora, and then Yirmiyahu left out a Gadol, and then Daniel left out a Gibur, because one of the Goyim are destroying the Bismikdash and subjugating the Jewish people. Where's the Gvura? Where's the Gedula? And the Anshe Knesset Gedula, they put it back in because they said Yedeir Adonai, but there is the Eibishter Gvura that he's able to hold back from destroying these guys, and because he has a plan for the world. So yeah, Gvura. So Gvura is associated with holding back with the power to be able to hold back, yeah. Mishnah says the Eibishter obviously doesn't have hands in our sense, but I mean we know al pitaras chassidus that it's the other way around. Because the Eibishter is able to be master from itself a midah that we perceive as chesed, and a midah that we perceive as gvura. Therefore, it comes down in our world that there's a right and a left. Huh. Mishnah says, "Hareini nozim min hachatzanim min hazagim min hateglachas min hatrumah." What if somebody says specifically, he says, "I'm a nozir only from grape seed, or only from grape skins." Chatzanim is grape seed.
The pit.
Or only min hazagim, only from the grape skins. or only minatiglachas, or minatuma, or only from shaving, or only from becoming tummy. Harei the nazir, nevertheless, he's still a full-fledged nazir, v'chodik dukin nizirus olav, and all the details of nizirus apply to him. You don't say that in that case, then he's taka only also in eating grape and eating grape seeds, or what have you. No, once he said one of the things that apply to a nazir, then it's an all-or-nothing thing. That's the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, "Nas nisim like Reb Shimon." Our Mishnah then necessarily is not like Reb Shimon. The Tanya, as we learn in Abraisa, Reb Shimon Omer, ain't chayev actually yidur mikolam. In fact, he will only be chayev if he mentions, or if he specifies all of them. It doesn't have to be an ordinary nazir. Doesn't have to specify all of them. I mean, Reb Shimon does agree with our first Mishnah that the person said a hey or harini nazir or what have you. That's good enough. If he doesn't specify anything, then yeah, it means a regular nazir. Reb Shimon's point is, if he specifies, then he's only also in the things that he specifies.
Excluding what
he's excluding what he's yeah.
Why don't you say if he specifies none of us? Because he sort of excludes himself.
That's way. V'rabbanan Amri, where does the Rabbanan say, after the Nazir al b'chad min ha'in, even if he only made a Nazirus from one of these things, have a Nazir. Nevertheless, he's a Nazir. My time is Reb Shimon, so what's Reb Shimon's reason why he would ever have to be, why he could do things piecemeal? Omakra, because what the pasuk says, Mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin, from anything that's made out of the grapevine, mechartzanim vazog, from the grape seeds to the grape to the grape skins, which implies therefore, when does he become a nazir? Only if he excluded himself from all of them, Mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin. Once mentioning the chatzanim vad zog, those details mean that it's possible to only be a nazir from chatzanim or only from zog. In order for it to be a complete nazir, it would have to be mikol asher yasim and gefen hayayin. That's the point. Mechatzanim vad zog, from grape seeds to grape skins.
What do we say the ad zog? Ad zog means the whole gamut of
okay,
from grape to the seeds.
Right, but if he makes a nazirus, mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin, if he makes the general usual kind of nazirus, he says I'm also in any grape product, then yes, he's also even in the seeds, even in the skins. But if he were specifically to say I'm only also in chatzanim, then Reb Shimon is saying that's what the pasuk is implying by saying first the klal of mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin, and then the prat mechatzanim v'adzog teaches us that either of that any of those is a valid thing by itself.
Can he cut his head?
No, so that
he only for what?
If he says only for...
Can he cut his head?
According to Reb Shimon, yes. If he were to say that I'm also only from all grape products,
yes.
Then yes, he would be allowed to become Tomei and he'd be allowed to cut his hair. The Chachamim would say that not.
Why?
The point... That's one second. We just said, V'rabbanan, my time, whereas the Rabbanan, what would they answer? Omakra, miyayin v'sheikha yazir. Yes, but the pasuk says, from wine and from sheikhar, which means strong wine, yazir, he should be a nazir, which implies even if he only made a nazir from one of those things, only from yayin or only from sheikhar, then it includes everything.
Everything or nothing for the Chacham.
It's everything or nothing for the Chacham, exactly.
That's the thing.
According to Reb Shimon, focuses on the fact that you have a klal, mikol asher ya'asim gefen hayayin, and then you have a prat, mechartzanim v'adzog. The Chachamim are focusing on the fact that you only have the prat, miyayin v'sheicher yazir. So for Reb Shimon, therefore, it means that you can either make a general nazirus or a specific nazirus. According to the Chachamim, rather, it means that you can only make a general nazirus. There's no such thing as a specific nazirus. According to Reb Shimon, not necessarily. I don't know. Actually, if he was only a nazir, well, we are. So we're gonna. One second. We're gonna talk about tomorrow. Actually, we're gonna talk about one of the special types of nazirus called nazirus shimshin. Nazirus shimshin. Actually, the nazir is allowed to become tummy. So there you have an example. According to the opinions that a person can be a nazir shimshin, which actually the Gemara will deal with that. Yes. But according to the opinions that a person can become a Nazir Shimshin, though he never brings his Karbanos anyhow, because he's a Nazir his whole life. He only brings Karbanos Tumah. Because he can become Tumah, so he doesn't even bring Karbanos Tumah. So according to the Shimshin, if a person were to be a partial Nazir like that, he may well be like a Nazir Shimshin in that sense. There's no Karbanos to be brought. I don't know. But whatever it is,
it's a day, but it's
not kavanah. So if we're saying that according to Reb Shimon, you don't need kavanah in that case, then yes. But that halacha is not like Reb Shimon, so it's a moot point. According to the Chacham, it's all or nothing thing.
Right.
According to the Chacham, you can't be a nazir only from grapes.
Right.
According to Reb Shimon, though, this portion is here, may well have a time limit.
Yeah, it probably has a time limit. Yeah, it probably has a relative time limit like regular Naziris, yeah.
So it may have to be kavanah.
Possible, yeah. I don't know. Okay, so the question is, Rav Shimon Nami Yoksib Miyayin V'Sheikha Yaziv, fine, what does Rav Meir do, not Rav Meir, Rav Shimon, what does he do with the Pasuk of Acham Magrim, Miyayin V'Sheikha Yaziv? The answer is, Hachumi Boyle, Lesser Yein Mitzvah Kiyein Harashus. Rav Shimon uses that for a different limud, to teach us that the Nazir is usur in wine of mitzvahs, for example, Kiddush, or Havdalah, or Dalet Kosis, just as he's usur to drink regular wine. Mayi, What kind of yayin mitzvah are we talking about? Kiddush of Avdalta? Are we talking about the wine of Kiddush of Avdalah? Hari Mushba V'Omid Olav Mahar Sinai. Is he Mushba V'Omid Olav Mahar Sinai? Is he besworn on that from Har Sinai? L'chura not. So Tosfos learns that the Gemara's question, even though the expression Hare Mushba V'Omid Mahar Sinai sounds like it's saying, behold, usually Hare, and the Gemara is usually stating a statement of fact. He is Mushba V'Omid Mahar Sinai. But Tosfos says that can't be what it means. The fact is, yes, Kiddush may well be Daraisa, but Kiddush on wine is not Daraisa. Midaraisa, you can be Yotze Kiddush just with the words. It's only Midrabanan that you need a cup of wine. What? So wait, one second. And Abdullah is definitely only Dirabbanan. So therefore, the Gemara has to be asking that he's not Mushba V'Omid Mahar Sinai because those things are only Dirabbanan. So why would you need a Pasuk to teach us that you're not allowed to drink Kiddush wine or Abdullah wine if you're a Nazir? It should be fairly obvious. There's no way that the Dirabbanan obligation of drinking Kiddush or Abdullah could override the Daraisa of Nazirus. So Tosfos says that actually the Lashon Harei, it's an unusual expression over here, but the Gemara is actually asking he's not Mushba V'Omid Mahar Sinai.
All right, in other words, Lo Mushba.
Why don't you say that the Mr. Daraisa to listen to the Rabbanan or the left or right, they said Yayin, so use Yayin. It is Har Sinai.
Because even the Rabbanan themselves, first of all, the Rabbanan themselves don't have the power to override a Din Daraisa. Not with a korban say anyway, only with a shev baltasa. But besides that, also even dirabanan, you can be yotze kiddush in other ways. Also, you know, yeah. Rashi on the other hand, learns differently. So the Rambam also learns like Tosfos. The Rambam learns that in fact a nazir is befeirish not allowed to drink kiddush or havdalah wine. That the Gemara is saying over here that there's no question he's not allowed to. Rashi over here learns a little differently. That the haray is more in the simple sense. Indeed, he's mushba v'omid mahar Sinai. So how can the issur of nazirus override the mitzvah to drink kiddush or havdalah? So actually, Rashi discusses in Sefer HaPardes, he says that what the Gemara may mean over here is, yes, of course a Nazir shouldn't be making Kiddush or Abdullah on wine to begin with. He should be hearing from somebody else, he should be making Kiddush on bread, what have you. But if the Dievet, he went and made Kiddush on wine, then yes, the Gemara is asking, the Gemara is saying over here, maybe indeed he should be allowed to drink it.
Is Rashi saying it's the Raisa, the wine?
So Rashi is saying, yeah, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, Zacharei Walayayin, yeah. Rashi seems to be saying over here that the actual wine of Kiddush and Havdalah is actually Daraisa. But therefore, according to that, it would come out on the contrary. The Gemara might well be saying that you shouldn't be doing it, but if you have no choice, you already made Kiddush on wine and you've got to drink it, then yes, you're gonna have to drink it, despite the fact that you're Nazir. It's an interesting thing, actually. That's according to that way of looking at it. We talked briefly yesterday about the Rogachover having been told by the Tzemach Tzedek when he was little to learn Masechta Nazir, and actually that he did act as a Nazir in many ways. That's why he didn't cut his hair, for example. So there was actually there was a discussion between the Rebbe and the Friedrich Rebbe once discussed the question. So what did the Rogachover do as far as the Dalet Kosis? And the Friedrich Rebbe in turn quoted from his father, from the Rebbe Rashab, that said that based on this, that maybe indeed he would have been allowed to.
But he didn't.
He did, right. Okay. So anyway, according to Tosfos' understanding, the Gemara is asking, it's not possible that the Pasuk is telling us that a Nazir should be, that a Nazir is not allowed to drink Kiddush or Avdalah, because we would have known that anyway. According to Rashi, it's the other way around, that the Pasuk can't be telling us he can't, because there can be cases where he can't. Ella, kihado amarava. So no, rather the situation that the pasuk might be telling us. What do we mean yein mitzvah kiyein harashus? What's the yein mitzvah? It would be like, for example, what Rava says shavur she'eshter. Suppose somebody says a shavur that I will drink because of amaharini nazir, and then he says I will become a nazir. Not necessarily tested it ever. Who says? After nazirus chayla ashvur. Nevertheless, the nazirus overrides because of amar, and then yeah. After Nazirus, Chayla Ashvur. So, nevertheless, the Nazirus can override the Shvur. That would be Yein Mitzvah Ki Yein Harashur. So, Reb Shimon would say, this Pasuk that you, Chachamim, are saying that Nazirus is an all or nothing thing, no, that Pasuk is teaching us that even in a case where a person had a mitzvah based on his previous Shvur to drink wine, but now that he's a Nazir, he can't. That's not a proof, but that's what Reb Shimon does with the Chachamim's Pasuk. And we'll continue tomorrow with what the Chachamim do with Reb Shimon's Pasuk.